When I proposed this service on Seeking Balance, I thought it would be a fairly straightforward project. But as I've been preparing, I've begun to realize just how complex the subject is and how many different directions it could go in. So I will be focusing this morning on the challenge of seeking balance in relation to currents within Unitarian Universalism. Now, the August theme, August Touchstone's theme, is prayer and meditation. So the talk this morning may not seem very closely related to that. However, since everything is connected and interdependent, I do think that prayer, or meditation in particular, can help in the search for balance. And when I was thinking about this question of balance, I remembered that in my memoir, Answering a Different Call, I wrote about my own search for balance from about 40 years ago. I had written, "It appeared that my life was going to find a focus that included both sexuality and spirituality. For a long time, there'd been a tension between sex and spirit with pendulum swings back and forth. Hopefully, I would be able to gradually find a balance and bring the two aspects together." Well, ongoing work, Buddhist, Taoist, and other teachings, and the Lakehead Unitarian Fellowship community have been among the things that have helped me to work on trying to maintain a life in balance. From the time I became involved with the community here in 2005, I found myself aware of some of the conflicting ideas or tensions in our own community. There have been recurring questions of minister or building, professional or lay-led ministry, tradition or innovation, and so on. Now, the issue of contradictions or tensions and the search for balance took on a particular focus when I read Philip Hewitt's exhaustive history, Unitarians in Canada. I will refer a lot to Hewitt this morning. In the first chapter of the book, Why Unitarian, Hewitt refers to the question of authority in religion. And I quote, "Within traditional Christianity, this authority is found in the Bible, or in the church, or in the recorded sayings of the founding fathers. Unitarians find it in the reason and conscience of the individual. The attractiveness of such a form of religion for some people is quite obvious. Almost equally obvious are the problems it raises. The person who makes a responsible attempt to put Unitarianism into practice has to live within the continuing tension between conflicting forces that are by no means easy to reconcile." Hewitt goes on to describe four sets of tensions: individuality and community, freedom and order, tolerance and conviction, rationalism and romanticism. Individuality has been a defining feature of Unitarianism, and the influence of philosopher John Locke has been profound. Hewitt writes, "For him, the individual was of paramount importance, the claims of society secondary and derivative. A concern for individuality became the cult of individualism, which destroyed the supportive ties of human community. And the consequences of this have become more and more apparent as time has gone by. Perceptive thinkers within the movement have repeatedly pointed out the difficulty of building an effective community life on the basis of a radical respect for individuality. This has made the organizing of strong Unitarian congregations, especially in Canada, a peculiarly difficult undertaking. It can be resolved only where full recognition is given to the values expressed both in individuality and in community. Now, this is something which is notoriously easier to do in theory than in practice. Freedom and order. And this is a tension that's closely related to the previous one. Again from Hewitt. Without an effective recognition of the claims of each, freedom degenerates into irresponsible license and order into authoritarianism. Now, the danger for Unitarians lies exclusively in the first of these two directions. You never really seem to be authoritarian around here. Nonetheless, at the opposite end of the scale, the freedom of the individual is equally endangered where there is no social order capable of maintaining it. One unhealthy reaction to this particular tension, which can be documented from Unitarian history, is a resistance in the name of freedom to any form of organization, no matter how democratic. At the very time when the need for help to the fledgling movement in Canada was greatest, there was so much opposition to giving effective support to the only organizations which could have marshaled the necessary resources that the opportunity was missed. In the name of freedom, there has been opposition to the very organizations that could have safeguarded freedom. I would add that at times we can still see this in our UU congregations and the Canadian Unitarian Council today. Tolerance and conviction. And again, I use Hewitt's words. Tolerance, like freedom and individuality, has been one of the traditional Unitarian virtues. However, tolerance comes most easily when nothing really matters, when a person has no vital and compelling beliefs about anything. Where there are strong and definite beliefs, it becomes much more difficult to tolerate opposing beliefs, particularly in religion. On the whole, Unitarians have handled this particular tension rather more successfully than they have handled the preceding two. There have, however, been occasions when a misunderstanding of the requirements of tolerance has been allowed to undermine the search for truth to which Unitarians avowedly commit themselves. Such a search requires rigorous thinking and an unwillingness to dignify unreasoned prejudices with the same degree of respect as is given to beliefs arising out of a long wrestling with evidence. Intolerance has not been unknown in Unitarian history, though it appears less frequently than in most other religious bodies. The comparison has been drawn between the religious convictions of a Unitarian and the working hypotheses of a scientist. In each case, the person concerned may be prepared to stake the work of a lifetime upon the validity of what is believed. Nonetheless, the possibility that these beliefs may eventually have to be modified or abandoned in the light of advancing knowledge and understanding is always acknowledged. The application of this temperance spirit within Unitarianism was described by a historian as open-minded certainty. It lives creatively within the tension between tolerance and conviction. Now, philosopher Karl Popper offered another approach to this question when he defined the paradox of tolerance back in 1945. Popper writes, Unlimited tolerance must lead to the disappearance of tolerance. If we extend unlimited tolerance even to those who are intolerant, if we are not prepared to defend a tolerant society against the onslaught of the intolerant, then the tolerant will be destroyed and tolerance with them. Rationalism and Romanticism. And again, Hewitt. Reason has always been one of the key words within Unitarianism, but it has not always been used with precisely the same meaning. In its broadest sense, it has meant the harmonious activity of all aspects of the human psyche, bringing the contributions of thought, sensation, feeling, intuition, and imagination together into a meaningful unity. But there have been times when it has been used in a much narrower sense. For Unitarian Joseph Priestley, a philosopher, theologian, politician, and scientist, the essentials of religion lay in intellectual assent to a system of ideas and in a way of life that was the logical expression in practice of those ideas. But within the movement itself But within the movement itself, that produced in due course a reaction toward the opposing pole of Romanticism. Rationalism laid its emphasis upon the intellect. Romanticism laid its emphasis upon the feelings. The Romantics were for intuition and spontaneity, for acting in harmony with what they felt to be their essential nature, whereas the Rationalists emphasized education and training. With the rise of Romanticism, the preeminence formerly given to theological debate gave place to expressions of mystical experience, ritual, and liturgy. I would add that the humanism of the early 20th century shifted the balance again toward rationalism. Is there a way to find a balance between these two approaches? Tom Owen Toll has written a short book called Freethinking Mystics with Hands, Exploring the Heart of Unitarian Universalism. And he writes, rationalism without a sense of mystery grows sterile, and mysticism untempered by reason falls prey to credulity. He includes in the book some words by Mark Bellatini, Reverend Mark Bellatini, who's writing about balance. From Bellatini, mysticism marks our movement as much as our more famous rationalism and has always done so. By mysticism, I do not mean privileged revelation or occultism, though the word is sometimes sadly used that way. In seeking provisionally to define mysticism, I need to find phrasing strong enough to bear much richness, yet which rings clear as a bell. And so I come to the elegant words of our shared principles. And he puts in brackets, mysticism defines the direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit, the first of our sources. And this mysticism of the direct experience is as much a source of our splendid Christianities, theisms, and our humanities as is our reasoned critique. This tension between reason and mysticism is one of the things I've been certainly conscious of here at Lakehead Unitarian Fellowship. And I'm not suggesting that that is a bad thing. It is part and parcel of who we are as a community. When I first started here, theological debate seemed to be predominant, or debate at any rate, while over time, ritual and liturgy have assumed a larger space. To me, this is something that will continually evolve over time, and our challenge is to stay open and contribute to that changing balance. So I'm going to take a moment now and share a piece of music with you. A little musical interlude, if you will. So Bread and Roses has been a rallying cry since the early 20th century. This version of the song was performed by Bronwyn Lewis, and it appeared in the 2014 film Pride, which was set during the 1984 coal strikes in the UK. Now, I referred earlier to free-thinking mystics with hands. In a direct link to the song we've just heard, Tom Owen Toll shares the following. There's an ancient Persian adage that says, if you have 2 pennies, spend one on a loaf of bread and share it with the hungry. And with the other, buy a flower and revel in its magnificence. As free-thinking mystics with hands, Unitarian Universalists turn our souls outward in acts of mercy and inward through communion with art and nature. Now he goes on to write, of course, there will always there will always be those among us who resonate especially to music, art, dance, and the wonder of natures, while others find supreme meanings through social justice. These two groups often quarrel over priorities, sometimes to the point that one questions whether the other really belongs in the UU fold. Well, both do. He points out that we are called to be ambidextrous, both sharers of beauty and builders of justice. Unitarian Universalists must constantly balance principles like freedom and responsibility, doubt and belief, sorrow and joy, beauty and justice. To lead saved lives, we must become whole persons who pursue both the restoration of our spirits through beauty and the reformation of our society through service. I suggest that we can find this tension and interplay, certainly here at LUF, with the balance shifting and changing over time. At one point in the book, Owen Toll provides a description of his theological convictions and the balancing it must require. Reading it, I found myself thinking that it resonated strongly with my own spiritual approaches. He says, "Let's see, I am a mystical humanist with naturalistic leanings and receptivity to disclosures of the divine. I meander comfortably amid the Judeo-Christian motifs and stories of my heritage. My religious vision is tempered by existentialism, grounded in earth-centered spiritualities, aligned with the wisdoms of the Asian traditions, especially Taoism, I would add Buddhism, and bathed in trustful agnosticism. In short, as Walt Whitman mused, do I contradict myself? Yes, I contain multitudes." So, individuality and community, freedom and order, tolerance and conviction, rationalism and romanticism, freedom and responsibility, doubt and belief, sorrow and joy, beauty and justice, bread and roses. Seeking balance in all of this is a never-ending dance. So may I suggest that we let it be a dance we do.